thank all of you for the sacrifice of time and money and traveling the dangerous highways and other commitments that you had to be with us and join in this study. Your deportment has been not unexpected because we're brethren. And we love the truth, all of us, and we've come to study the truth. I was saying just at the close of my last speech that about fornication has become irrelevant by this position. Now, my brother's not going to say that fornication is irrelevant. His position does. Fornication is a terrible thing, and we hate it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, every sin is without the body, but fornication is against the body. Flee fornication. Fornication is terrible. But all of a sudden, after an ungodly man does something that God does not approve of, and he's sinning, he puts away not for the cause of fornication, all of a sudden, fornication becomes totally irrelevant. You didn't hear anything about fornication afterwards. She's a put-away woman. And let's have the last chart first, please, Brother Gwen. These charts confirm everything I've been saying about where all of the emphasis is put. The entire chart at once, if you don't mind. Don't forget, Brother Reeves has had to, what he's had to do in an effort to prove his position. He's had to change. These first three, or the first two, look at those. Brother Joel, thou art the man. These are just bald-faced assertion, as a friend of mine used to express it in Texas. These are just ipsy-dixies. This is something Joel said, and he said it with great emphasis of voice. Thou art the man, my brother. He's had to confuse the difference between married and bound. No, I haven't confused any difference between them. You haven't really defined them. And the last one, he's had to argue that the Bible does not address every possible marriage-divorce scenario. I've never said that. I've never said that. The Bible is applicable to every scenario that comes up in the life of a man or woman. The Bible supplies everything that is necessary for life and godliness. All these things have been supplied. The Bible is sufficient to make it complete. I'm saying that the scenario that Jesus treats is not the scenario of this proposition. Brother Joel, can you read your scenario of the proposition in the Bible? Can you read it there? No, but the Bible, what it does teach in Matthew 19 and 9a, remember, Jesus gives for the cause of fornication. He doesn't say provided. That's what my brother does. Provided this and provided that and pre this and post that. Jesus gives the cause of fornication as the permission to put away, if the one is innocent, the guilty mate and remarry. The next chart going backwards, if you don't mind, please. We'll take them in that order. That's all right. Hold my time just a moment. I like to take them in the order, and this is putting pressure on my brother, and I appreciate his patience with me. Backward, please. Thank you. Put the entire chart up for us, please. You see this last square with it? It's emphasized with a circle around it? If the husband puts away his wife not for fornication, of course he may not marry because he did not have the cause for which to do it. Of course she may not remarry. She's put away. They're still husband and wife. I do not say that she may. But when the scenario changes, which Jesus did not treat, when fornication comes in and she who is innocent has this right to put away her husband, that's another scenario that's in our proposition that Jesus was not asked about. That's why he did not specifically treat it. Go back again, please, backwards. The entire chart, if you don't mind. My proposition directly and exactly parallels the teaching of Jesus in these passages. Order is important. What he does here is confuses two scenarios. He goes to the scenario that Jesus treats. When Jesus says, if there's fornication, the innocent puts away the guilty, and there's remarriage permitted for the innocent party. That's why I deny this proposition. The woman in this proposition was the innocent party. Fornication was committed against her. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew 19:9.8. This order, he says, is different. This is a different scenario, my brother. This is a different scenario. This is your proposition up here. Can you read your proposition verbally in the scriptures? He's confusing two different scenarios and says the orders are different. Three times. Remarriage of the put away, you see the put away person? Jesus said, whosoever and he. Let's go back to another chart and I'll show you what they underscore, what they underline. They do it every time. It's the put away. It's this box, and once you're in it, too bad. Too bad. Look what's underscored. Jesus said, whosoever, the whole verse, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. Whosoever, that's what Jesus says. This is what happens when he puts away his wife, not for fornication. He makes her an adulteress. And he says, whosoever, that's what you need to underscore, Joel. That's what Jesus is underscoring. Whosoever marries this woman under this situation. Oh no, we got to underscore her, this divorce. This woman in the box, you see. That's everything. Once you get in there, you're stuck. The same thing, look at Matthew 19:9. Jesus says, whosoever. That's not underscored. Oh no, we want to get that woman who's put away. Put away, put away, put away. We hear that over and over, and it just sounds like the gospel truth. If you want to exegete the passage, exegete properly the passage, underscore whoso. Look in the third case, Luke 16:18. Jesus three times says, whosoever. Joel doesn't see that. What Jesus is emphasizing, no, the put away. Three times he says the put away, not for the cause of fornication. We agree that she cannot marry again without committing sin. Let's go back to another one, please, as quickly as we can. It's about order, not about procedure. Brother Reeves wants this debate to be about procedure. Where'd you get that? Did the audience understand that? His moderator and others have even labeled us as civil procedure brethren. They put out an announcement. This debate's about mental divorce. So I'm a mental divorcer, and I'm simply saying they have emphasized civil procedure, this post-civil divorce putting away, this post-putting away, or pre or post, all of that, they're the ones that have caused me to say you must emphasize civil procedure. We're not here to debate procedure. This debate is about the necessary order. What the Bible teaches, that's the woman in our proposition. She has fornication committed against her, Mark 10:11. She's the innocent one. Yes, but she's been put away. And what did that have to do? Did he ever explain what that had to do with anything except this ungodly man did it? Oh, he put her away. Not for the cause of fornication. They're still husband and wife. And as the innocent wife, she can put him away. She can renounce her vows. She can't do a thing. Started to say blooming thing, but that's not correct. She can't do a thing. Yes, she can do what she vowed. She can now disavow. And being innocent can marry again. Brother Reeves is defending this over here. This is a different scenario, but they're going to confuse scenarios. I'll defend anyone, whether put away or not, if she or he has the cause that Jesus gives. Previous chart, please, if there's another one. You see the word then as I make my closing remarks. Put the then, he wants to put a then over there before that last paragraph and the middle two lines. It's not there. He wants to say whosoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery, and then after that, you see, whosoever marries her because she's a put-away woman, there's no then over there. It's over here. This is his proposition, but it's not over there, and it's not parallel.
Get that
extra 30 seconds. Extra 30 seconds. Thank you kindly, and thank you, Brother Joel, for joining together with me in this discussion. Thank you, Brother, for your kindness and consideration in your conduct in these last two nights. May God bless all of you, and as Brother Glenn mentioned, protect you as you travel. I live here, but I may have trouble between here and the house. It's more likely, though, on long trips, and we wish you well. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Thank you, Joel. Thank you all for attending this debate and for your careful considerations of the things that have been taught. Notice again, I'm going to put this up here, and if you all will carefully avoid the projector, we'll leave it up there for a few minutes. So if you have not already written down this contact information, please do so. And again, we're really pushing the websites. If you can get there and download the information and save these men the trouble of having to make a lot of copies of tapes and charts, it certainly will help. If you have that capacity, we wish you would do that. It's been a long night. It's been a long couple of nights, but it's been a good period of Bible study, and we appreciate you all for attending. A reminder again about clogging the hallway before as you're leaving. Stay in here and talk if you'd like to talk, and then exit the building as quickly as you can. Drive safely on your way home. Some of you have a long way to go. We appreciate again very much your interest that brought you so far to attend this debate. Without any other announcements that need to be made, we're going to be led in a final word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Arthur Haynes, who's an elder of the church in Columbia, Tennessee, to come and lead us in a final prayer.
And at the end of the prayer, you'll be dismissed. Let's stand, please.
Let us all pray. Our most righteous God, the Father of all creation, oh, how great that Thou art. Our Father, especially, are we thankful for these two opportunities of being able to assemble, to be able to study Thy Word and to examine Thy Word. And we pray, our Father, that we'll have sincere hearts, that we'll desire to know truth, and that we'll meditate upon those things that are taught, and we'll examine those things, we'll study those things as we return home. We pray that we'll only desire to know truth. And we're so thankful, our Father, that we do have truth in Thy revealed will. And we pray, our Father, that we'll truly love it, we'll contend for it, and that we'll forsake whatever for the cause of truth. Please help us, our Father, to just have honest hearts. Help us to know what truth is. Help us to not be prejudiced. Help us to just accept truth, our Father. We pray, our Father, for each of us as we journey home. We pray, Father, that Thou would bless us with safety. Help us, our Father, to have a greater love and appreciation for Thee, for Thou art our precious Father in heaven. We pray that Thou would please forgive us of our sins. Help us, our Father, to be more like Thee. And we pray, Father, that when come to the end of life's pathway, we pray that we can come and be with Thee and praise and honor and glorify Thee, our precious Father in heaven. We ask this prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.